Okay, I guess we need a substitute leader tonight. Let's see, it is TeamSpeak for OpenHPSDR. It's June 20th, and my name is Bill, KD5TFD. Don't have too much to report here, sort of buried in work. I'm not getting a lot of radio time, but staying healthy with the COVID stuff and actually enjoying the summer-like weather we're starting to get down here in Texas. So I guess I'll go down the roll call here. We got Bob, the E3GKM, muted and recording, or the way in recording, I guess it is. Greg, ZL3IX, microphone muted. Henry, PA0HJA, recording and away. Mike, AA8K, also recording, and thanks to Mike for posting to the archive site for folks that follow remotely. And then we've got Phil, VK6PH. Good morning, Phil.
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Everybody. Not a lot to report, I'm afraid. Very busy work week, much the same as Bill. And unfortunately, didn't have the time for any radio work at the moment. But really enjoying our winter weather. We started winter now in June, and the weather's almost spring-like. It's absolutely beautiful weather, sunshine and fairly warm. It's that 70 about 5 during the day, which is very unusual for this time of the year, so very pleasant. Afraid that's the news from me this week. Back to you, Bill.
Okay, yeah, good to hear from you, and yeah, here it's getting warm and getting some good pool time. I actually just came in from sitting out in the sun as the sun was going down. Felt pretty nice, so let's see, looks like Dave has arrived, so I shall turn it over to Dave, KV0S.
Oh, sorry about that. I got on and I had a horrible hum in the earphones, so I decided I needed to reboot the computer, and it took 2 minutes to get everything back working. So today I was on a Zoom session with the Tapper board, and Phil, we got a request that I recruit you for a DCC talk. It's going to be a virtual talk, and we decided that we're going to have a option for the speaker. We're trying to get as many people from different places around the world talking, and you would have the option of pre-recording. We're talking about half-hour talks, but you could either pre-record or you could do it live on the Zoom, either way. That would save you from having to get up. We were going to have our sessions on Eastern U.S. time, so it could be quite a bit of a time difference, although they were guessing it would be just before midnight. Your time would be a very time that would work for you. Anyway, that was my little pitch, and I wanted to give you that feedback. And anybody else you can think of that might be willing to give a talk, we'd like to recruit them. We're working on getting the call for papers up. It's almost there, but we have to coordinate with ARRL. Because they're co-host the meeting, so that's it. We are going to have proceedings. We're going to have a series of talks. We're going to try to have breakout rooms so that people can do demos too, and we will have short talks, 15-minute talks for students or people who just have a simple idea that hasn't been fully fermented yet. So that's about it for me. Otherwise, I've been working on editing papers and things like that, and a little bit of programming. So I don't know, Bill, did you mention Bob VE3GM GKM was recording? And I assume you went through the list and then jumped to me.
I did. I got all the way through the list, and I did the roll call, and I even think I did it right. So you just happened to jump in after I got through the last person on the list, so it, I think we're probably at the general discussion stage.
Well, very good. Let's have some general discussion.
Hi, Dave. Yeah, that should be fine. I'd be happy to do that either one way or the other. So I'm happy to do that. When is DCC day?
I think it's the third weekend in September. The dates are the same as what are posted on the Tapper site, but we will not be in Charlotte this year. But the dates are correct. So there was one other thing I wanted. Oh, if I don't know, are any of you or Warren or John doing anything with SDR Academy?
I'm not sure if John or Warren is.
Well, we might try to recruit them if they're interested. The other thing is, I talked to Steve, and he said, based on your past history, you don't have to worry about having your talk accepted. We'd be open to any of the stuff you like to talk about.
Oh, it means I can be abusive to Scotty, does it?
Well, we generally all are, but we really don't want to. He's getting all excited with his tangerine stuff, so you'll hear a dose of that.
Okay, no problem. Thanks very much.
User disconnected from your channel.
The dates are September 11th to the 13th, 2020. At least that's on the website.
Yes, that's the correct dates. And we're talking about doing 2 days and not having a Sunday seminar thing.
Anybody come up with a virtual way to do a virtual banquet?
No, we haven't thought of a virtual banquet, but today we were discussing how to do a virtual Tapper meeting so that we need some to hold a meeting as part of our bylaws.
No, interesting. I got to do a virtual lunch at work during the week, and I thought I had this all figured out. I'd go outside and grill up hot dogs outside with the iPad, and putting the iPad out in the Texas sun for 5 minutes does not work. It shuts down due to thermals.
Oh, boy. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, okay, I put my dates in the diary. There's nothing on at the moment around there, so that should be fine. But that will work okay, because if I am able to travel by then, I can do a video one, so do a pre-recording. So that'll be okay, Dave. And yes, the SDRA is on next Saturday. So hopefully we'll hear about that being online as well.
Yeah, we realize that if you do virtual, there are lots of folks around the world that like to listen to them. So I regularly like to listen to SDR Academy. I haven't made it to Germany yet myself, but just circumstances got in the way.
Yes, it's a shame, because John and Warren and I were, and Chell as well, we were all planning to visit this year.
Yeah, it is a shame, but maybe another year.
Well, I deferred my trips and holidays to the US to this time next year, so hopefully by then everything will be back to normal.
We hope.
For some definition of normal.
So, Bill, did you send a burger or a steak or a hot dog or a sausage to all the people on the list?
No, but it was, people found it amusing. I was outside grilling.
So it was one of these where you bring your own lunch and then you just talk during lunch.
Pretty much. I mean, it's, the group manager trying to keep people connected. The group actually has sort of three different projects in it. So, it's good trying to keep the team, aware of each other and talking to each other. None of us have been in the office now since March 9th. So it's, getting pretty weird.
Do you have any new people who haven't experienced the previous situation?
Well, we don't at the moment, not in my group. I do know groups who have interns and the like, and It's going to get odder because, actually, we do have one new guy on my new project I'm working on who, he had actually previously worked for IBM and had left and come back, and he rejoined after the COVID thing starts. So I've never actually met the guy, but, you know, we're working together and, you know, it's working out. Actually, this particular guy had a fairly good reputation, and a lot of folks knew him, including my brother. So it almost felt like I knew him without ever meeting him.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's pretty good. I found out that we're, for our fall semester, I still have another class to teach in the fall, and they gave us a choice of face-to-face, hybrid, or completely online. And most people want to have a little bit of face-to-face, and but all the room capacities are less than about 40% of the normal room capacities so that people can sit far apart. And they're going to require that all on-campus classes, the students wear masks, and the professor is going to wear a plexiglass face shield.
Well, that'll be interesting. It, Had you been teaching when this all broke out, or had you finished classes by then?
No, I got halfway through the spring semester, and we didn't really shut down till mid-March. And so I taught the first half of the class that way, but I have taught online for quite a while, and I use online tools for testing and that kind of stuff. So it was not that hard to switch over, but probably the students, well, I know they were disappointed with the less interaction on the computer than they were getting face to face.
Yeah, I could see that. But, I know I'm miserable at paying attention to. I mean, I can only put whatever video I'm watching or class I'm listening to or talk I'm listening to on one screen. And of course, I've got two other screens. They're begging Mike for my attention. So it's sort of distraction central.
Yeah. So I had a little project this week. I got a little antenna preamp from a fellow in Greece, SV1AFN. And so I put that preamp together and a little bit of soldering. It's through hole, one toroid to wind, but it was a fun little project.
That's very neat. I got to do a clock rebuild last weekend, which made me very happy to refurbish my clock I have outside by the in the backyard. So I now have time out in the backyard again.
Oh, that's great. This is either a mechanical or electronic clock, not a sundial. Or is it a sundial?
I don't know what refurbing one would have to do on a sundial, but no. This is a electronic quartz clock, which, I mean, the only refurbing is you change out the quartz element on it and all the mechanics on it. And it's sort of good. I discovered this a few years ago. I had a clock out in the yard that sitting in the Texas sun a few years, it starts losing time pretty badly and eventually just stops running. But you can go get the little clock module. Oh, it's less than $10. I think it's like $6 or so. And swap it out, put it in, you're good for another few years.
Well, that's good. That's always fun. I did get my truck antenna tilters. I got one. I lost the top to one, and so I went ahead and ordered a new one because they're expensive but not that expensive. And the new one came, and I also then found the cover for the old one, so I did a little work on it and refurbished it. So now I have two of them, and so I have double antennas on my pickup. So, as my students say, that looks really cool.
You have multiple radios to attach them to, or are you phasing them together somehow?
Well, that's an interesting story. One time I had some students that had Citizen Band radios on their on a truck, and I asked him if he did any phasing with them, and the guy didn't have any idea what I was talking about. But what I'm using them for, one is my local club 2 meter repeater is what I mostly use it for, 2 meter or 70 centimeter. But the other one I use for APRS, and I just have a better antenna than I usually use on APRS.
Ah, see.
It does make it convenient going in and out of, I park my truck in a garage here at my house. And when I go into work, I park in a parking garage. So on either end, the antennas have to be tipped.
Now, for extra credit, you should get a forward-looking camera to see you heading towards the garage, and the antennas learn to get out of the way on their own.
Oh, that would be cool.
Sounds like a job for a NVIDIA board of some sort.
Yes, yes, that would be a very cool project.
You ever done anything with ultrasonic sensing, Phil?
Ultrasonic what, sorry, Bill?
Distance sensing.
Yes, but over very short distances. One of my colleagues worked on real-time railroad rail inspection. So they fired ultrasonics at the surface of the rail, and then drove at reasonably high speed over the rail to detect flaws in the surface of the rail.
No, okay. I saw somebody looking for help on a project where they're trying to do ultrasonic sensing for keeping people spaced, socially distanced.
Oh, okay. The other thing I did was for a mining company was tank measuring the level of liquid in a tank, just standard 40 kilohertz ultrasonic transducers, just a transmitter and receiver, and just measure the time of flight, and that worked very well.
I've had experience with using it to measure to actually map trees. You set up sensors, you actually need two of them at known points. And then there was a roving transponder, and it would ping and give you a triangulation to that point. The only problem that we had, and this is maybe 10 meters or so distance, but if the wind is blowing really strongly, it kind of messes up the signals.
It messes up the signals because it interferes with the signal in transit, or because it causes the trees to sway in the breeze?
It's more the background. It increases the noise level in the signal, and it does have a little bit of increased variation for the time of flight.
No, I see. I wonder if that explains why some nights I can hear the train horns better than others.
Oh, yeah. And actually, even the humidity would have an effect on that. So train horns, I have a train train tracks about 6 or 7 miles from my house, and I can reliably hear them in the wintertime, but not at all in the summertime, and that could just be the tree leaves.
I'm about a mile and a half or so from from a main line, which has, within 3 miles of here has three crossings on it. And I quite often hear the train when I'm out in the yard. I've always thought it'd be a really interesting experiment to put up some microphones out there and see if I can detect which way is the train going, and, count how many trains per day and things like that. And actually guesstimate speed by, how long is it from when you first hear them at one crossing till you hear them on the next crossing and stuff.
Can you get a Doppler effect from what you're hearing, or are you too far away?
I don't know. My hearing's not that good, or my pitch detection is not that good. I would think I could, but I honestly don't know. I mean, it would have to be a... There's got to be some Doppler component to it, because, like, you know, if, you know, you take the bottom of a, you know, view the rail line as one edge of a triangle, you know, and then I'm sitting up above it somewhere. I mean, there is some component of that that should get Dopplered, I would think, but I don't know if it's enough to actually detect.
Yeah. Is there much elevation difference between you and the train tracks?
No, it's pretty flat. I mean, just a bunch of houses in the way. I mean, there might be, 10 or 20 foot difference. But if anything, I'm probably below level of the train. But unfortunately, the opportunity to experiment should go away, because they've finally converted those crossings to be four quadrant gates, and they're supposed to stop with the train horn soon.
Oh, well, you know, I when I was in college, or actually before I went to my PhD college, I worked in Oregon, and I had a house that had a switching yard just behind the backyard. And I thought, oh, because you'd hear the cars clashing together all the time. And I thought I'd get, it wouldn't be a very good place to live. And when I finally moved out of there, I kind of missed the sound of those trains.
Yeah, it was funny, because I noticed one day earlier this week that there were now signs up at the crossings, you know, warning that there's no train horn there. But when I was out there this evening, I heard the train horn. So I'm wondering, there is somewhat of a problem where some number of train engineers will ignore the no horn zoning and blow the horn anyway, which could be could turn into a problem here. I mean, it's sort of, I've lived here more than 20 years now, and ever since I moved here, they're saying, okay, we're going to fix those train horns. And that seems to be a very hard thing to do with, I guess railroads have, you know, just incredibly primary land rights to, you know, they can even run over cities pretty much.
Yeah, I know a little bit about that. And they're also very worried about the people trying to sneak through in front of a train. And of course, they cannot stop.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand the four quadrant gates and the like. But, I mean, it's a... the city has been at its wit's end trying to work with the railroad to get the four quadrant gates in. I mean, it's literally taken them 5 years to work on this project, which is, I mean, just really positively ridiculous. But it seems like, well, I actually wonder, because the railroads originally granted most of the land, it could be they have, you know, incredibly superior land rights. I honestly don't. I am puzzled by how can the railroad have power over the sovereign city.
Yeah, well, we have this patchwork quilt of different laws at different levels that make it very confusing, and actually probably a fruitful environment for lawyers who can find ways to dispute readings of the law.
Yeah, it could be. Or actually, I guess part of it is the city itself is not sovereign. It's the state that is.
Yes.